Okay, first of all, it's really a very special schus to be here. And to be here a little bit late at night to see so many young women looking to grow and to hear words of Torah, where it's close to 12 o'clock at night. Usually our shiurim are much earlier than this. But when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh, hopefully we're a little bit lamalim in azman. And we understand how we have to gain and grow from every moment we have the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and there isn't time for sleeping. Especially when most of us, I assume, looking around, are visiting for a short time, unless we're zoichet to Mashiach, which Bez Hashem will be very soon, and not have to leave. But Bez Hashem. But until that point, we have to gain and grow and grab on to every moment that we're zoche to be in Eretz Yisrael. Thinking back to Yidden, to if you talk to grandparents, to great grandparents, if you're zoche to have the dreams of having to visit Eretz Yisrael. And there are many Yidden today that unfortunately don't have the financial means or whatever, or based on circumstance. I was on a plane ride today of someone I'm very close to, and he's older than me, I don't know exactly, let's say at least 45 years old, and it's his first time coming to Eretz Yisrael. Mom, it's his first time. He was so excited, Baruch Hashem. He's here, and he's, Baruch Hashem, landed. He's in Eretz Yisrael. I told him he's never going to want to leave. But that we're here, and we're zoicha to be here, and we have to grab on to every moment in Eretz Yisrael, and it's chus to be here, and I want to first, b'chsov achsanya, b'chved achsanya, to thank Daniela for opening up. You know, we have the chus to have the shiurim in her house in Woodmere. But this is her home, because, you know, there's a difference between a house and a home, I think, in my mind at least. A house is just somewhere you reside physically. A home is somewhere you really, where your essence is. And even though maybe most of the year her and her family might reside in Woodmere, but they have the schus to have a home in Eretz Yisrael, and this is home. Only here are we home. We know it. The minute, each and every one of us, the minute that we got off the plane, we felt more at home than the whole rest of the year when we have to be in Chutz Laretz. We know it's true. And so this is her Iker home, and this is her family's Iker home, and to open up her home for Torah, it should be a schus for her and for family, Bez Hashem, and Bizoicha, just to continue to have a home full of Torah, and have bracha and simcha, and all the brachos and all the tefillos of the entire trip should be Makai Makabal, Bez Hashem. Chazal teach us, Kol Hamis Avel al Yerushalayim Zoche Veroa Besimchasa. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, and that means who yearns for Beis HaMikdash, as we do, specifically in the summer, during the 3 weeks, and the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av, but emes is all year long, in every tefillah of Yerushalayim Yerecha, in every benching of Bnei Yerushalayim Yerecha, Kodesh B'Mirvi Yemeinu, we're Mis'avel Yerushalayim, so Kol HaMis'avel Yerushalayim, the Yerushalmi tells us, Zoiche v'roya b'simchasa. Zoiche v'roya b'simchasa. What does that mean? Merits and sees its joy. Kol Mis'avel Yerushalayim Zoiche v'roya b'simchasa. So the obvious question all the Mefarshim ask, what does that mean? Kol HaMis'avel Yerushalayim Zoiche v'roya b'simchasa. Anyone who is in Mis'avel Yerushalayim Zoiche v'roya b'simchasa. Zoiche v'roya is b'lashon Hove, in the present tense. It's not, it should be in the future tense. Right? If you told me Kol HaMis'avel Yerushalayim Yizkeh V'yireh B'Simchasa, that would make a lot of sense. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim will merit to see the Simcha. Okay, beautiful, Shkoyach. Bez Hashem, we should be Zoiche. But Kol HaMis'avel Yerushalayim Zoche V'roa, right now, I'm sitting on the floor saying Kinnas on Tisha B'Av, and it doesn't have to be Tisha B'Av, anyone who goes, I don't know in the women's section, but in the men's section by the Kaisel Maravi, every single night at Chatzos, you see Yidden sitting on the floor with their shoes off, saying what's called Tikkun Chatzos, which are tefillos about Churban Beis HaMikdash. And sometimes, Imamish, you see Yidden every night. Right now, in a few more minutes, you'll see Yidden crying on the floor. Literally crying on the floor because Churban Beis HaMikdash. Every night. They understand, they feel, they know what we're missing. Halavai, we should feel that. But Zoche v'roa b'simchasa, So they, right now, at that moment, they're meriting and seeing Simcha. Yizkevira, maybe they'll be the ones that are Zocha to see it. What do you mean Zocha Veroa? Right now. You know, these parashios that we just finished Sefer Bereishis. So the end of the parashios, we have all the Maisa with the Shvatim and Yosef HaTzadik. And we know for 22 years, Yaakov Avinu was mourning the loss of his son Yosef HaTzadik. 22 years. We can't imagine what that was, the pain of his beloved son, who we know he loved so much, from Rachel Imenu, the Ksainas passed, and we all know the storyline. 22 years, he thinks he was killed, he thinks he's gone. And the Pasuk says, Vayimoyin, Vayimoyin Lisnachem, he refused to be consoled, he refused to be comforted. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives generally a bracha of Nechama, someone who loses a loved one, Lo Aleinu, we shouldn't know from it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to be comforted, to be consoled. Why? And we think Yaakov Avinu, Tzadik Yisrael Olam. When someone passes away, we say Baruch Dayan Emes. We say blessed is the truthful judge. Okay, I missed the person. I'm crying, but I'm going to get over it. I understand there's a plan. I understand there's rhyme and there's reason. I understand the Ribbono Shel Olam has his reasons why it's that person's time that I'm going to. I don't mourn for so long as a year. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a matana of a nechama. We're able to move on. Everyone in this room in their life has lost someone they loved. And even though obviously they miss the person, there might be moments when they cry and are sad. But overall, we move on in life. Because we are, why? Based on Amuna. Because we know that person's Noil Memes, and there's a rhyme, and there's a reason. Baruch Dayan Emes. So why is it? Yaakovina Vayimayin Lisnachem. Yaakovina is mourning Yosef's death for 22 years. What's Pshat? What's the Taretz Chevra? I'm sure you know. He's still alive, exactly. There's no gift of Nechama, and there's no reason of Nechama. Yo, deep down, somewhere in his unconscious, wherever that was, Baruch HaKadosh, whatever you want to say, Yaakov Avinu knew and understood Yosef HaTzadik was still alive. As we know, he was reunited. We saw a couple parashas ago, that unbelievable moment when they're reunited after 22 years. So when he's still alive, Yaakov Avinu, there was no reason to be comforted and consoled. He was yearning for all that time to be back together. He was yearning for all that time to be reunited with his son. And that makes sense, because he wasn't gone. He shouldn't move on. So based on that, what could we say? Now we can understand, Kol Hamis Avel Yushalayim, anyone who mourns Yushalayim, after 2,000 years, we're still mourning Yerushalayim. After 2,000 years of Chorban, of Galus, of no Beis HaMikdash, of looking, yes, we zoicha to stand Kaisel Maravi, but we look up and we see a mask over our Abayis, and we're still mourning, we're still yearning, we're still saying Yerushalayim Ercha, we're still mourning Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av in 3 weeks and 9 days. We're still going through that process called Mezav Yerushalayim, if you really do it, is a Raya that what? That the Kedusha is still there. And there's going to be another Beis HaMikdash. And there's not just, it's going to be, right now there's still Kedusha there, and it's still alive. Because if it was dead, if destruction meant it's gone, we would have gotten over it years ago already. We would have stopped yearning. We would have stopped mourning. But the fact that we're still mourning, that in itself is the biggest proof that the Kedusha still is there. Therefore, at the moment that we're mourning, at that moment, Zoche V'Roa B'Simchasa. At that moment, we feel the Simcha. At that moment, we understand there's a Kedusha here. Now the MS is, I didn't have to tell you any of this Torah. Because every one of you in this room, who's been Zoicha to be here, and you Zoicha to learn here, and Zoicha to be back, every moment just walking the streets of Yerushalayim, you feel it. You know it. You know there's a Kedusha here. You know there's a clarity here. You know that we think differently in this country. I'm sure I shared with some of you, I have a close friend who lives in Eretz Yisrael now, who made Aliyah many, many years ago when he got married. But when he wasn't yet living in Eretz Yisrael, his Baruch Hashem, he had the means. Anytime he had to make a big decision in life, he wouldn't make decision. He'd first fly to Eretz Yisrael, spend a few days, 2-3 days in Eretz Yisrael, and then make the decision. Because he only had clarity here by in Yerushalayim, and near the Kaisel, in Eretz Yisrael, B'Kedusha, Zaharet. He felt one with Hashem in a different way. He felt, he understood what's right and wrong. He understood what he's supposed to be doing. There was no sveikos, no doubt. And he was able to make the right decisions. So he'd come here first. So we know, we don't need, the Torah is very beautiful and it's very real, but we don't even need the Torah. Each and every one of us can attest to it. Each and every one of us feel it. Each and every one of us know it's emes. So the question is, and this is what Danielle asked me to speak about, is the question is, if we're not zoicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bez Hashem we will, and therefore all this Kedusha we're talking about will just grow, with not just the Kedusha of the Aretz, but Kedushas of the Giloy Shechina, with Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bekarov, and Tchis HaMesim, and everything that we're yearning for. But if we're not zoicha to Mashiach, so we're going to have to get on a plane at some point, some of us tomorrow night, some of us have flights, I don't know, a few more days, whatever it is. I have a flight scheduled for Matzei Shabbos. So all the feeling that we have now that is so real and so palpable and so strong, and we feel it and we know it, and I want, and it's, let's be real, it's not so much easier to daven here. Our tefillos are such different tefillos. We're able to daven with kavana the way we can daven, and like, we just, right? Let's be real. I know it personally, that's myself. I'm just talking for myself. I know I'm here, my tefillos are different tefillos. I can't daven this way. I'd say maybe on Yom Kippur, but I'm zoicha to be always in your slime Yom Kippur, so it's not a riot, but, you know. So how could we do it? How could we work on it? So first of all, we have to understand something that I've been thinking about a lot. How can we make sure to bring the Kedusha and the clarity and all of this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we feel now and bring it back to, if we're not zoicha to stay, to Chutz La'aretz. And have it always. So you have to understand something. First and foremost, you have to understand something. You know, we're in the middle of the days of Shoivavim. You've heard of those days, Shoivavim? People think it's only for men. It's not only for men. Listen to what the days of Shoivavim are. Shoivavim, first of all, for those of you who don't know, are the parashios of Shemos ve'era bo b'shalach yisro mishpatim. Those parashios, the Rashi Tevos, spell out Shoivavim. What does Shoivavim mean? To return, to do tshuva. Shuvu banim shoivim, the pasuk says. We have to return with the tshuva. These are very big days of tshuva. Very, very big days of tshuva. Why these days specifically? So because if you look at those parashas, you have to live with the parasha. When we learn parasha, we read parasha, not just some historical account of the past. If it was, we wouldn't be reading it every year. Everybody knows this week's parasha already. You all know what goes down in Shemos, right? You all know that Paro is going to die and we're going to go into slavery and it's going to be bitter and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to end up in a burning bush and see God. You know the storyline already, right? Every one of you. If I'm learning it for a historical account, been there, done that. You don't need to relearn that. We learn the parasha because it's the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zatzal used to teach us. You have to live with the parasha. The parasha is there to give us his oris, to give us musa, to give us chizuk. There's something within it I'm supposed to be taking out every year at that point in the year. So if you look at these parashas, Shemos ve'era, bo b'shal chizur mishpatim, these parashas is the journey of Klal Yisrael, megalus l'geula l'matan Torah. From exile to redemption to matan Torah. And that's the journey of all our lives. And therefore, each and every one of us, it's a zman, a special, conducive time to find our own geula, to find our own redemption, to find our own matan Torah. To also get out from that depth of the 49th level of Tumah to reach a level of Matan Torah. So it's an amazing time to do tshuva and to grow, which you're all, we're zoicha. That started, by the way, right after this past Shabbos. So we're all zoicha to be in Eretz Yisrael during this very special time of the year. Maybe you didn't even know it before tonight. You know, we always look, you're zoicha to be here right now to start this period of time. So the question is as follows. Why need the parshas of Shemos ve'era bo? Meaning what? Why are we talking about Shemos ve'era bo are the parshas of slavery when we were down and out. 49th level of Tumah. Peshalach is when Kriyas Yamsuf, Yisro, Kabbal Satorah, Mishpatim, the mitzvos that continue Kabbal Satorah. Let's just focus on those parshas to grow. That's what we want to get to. Why start Shemos ve'era bo? So I know some of you are thinking, what do you mean? If you don't have Shemos Ve'erbo, you don't have the Shuv, you don't have Shaivavim. You don't have shavim because you start bim or whatever. You know, meaning you left. You don't have the word shavim, so it can't be. It has to start shmos v'yirbo. So there has to be something deeper than that, obviously. We have to understand. But before we understand that, let's understand maybe an even more fundamental question. And that is, why is it that we had Shibud Mitzrayim at all? Why do we have our whole slavery in Mitzrayim? Why were we slaves in Egypt? Why do we have that Golus? When we talk Golus, Chorban Bayis Rishon, Chorban Bayis Sheni, when we talk about Golus, what are we talking about? We're talking about punishments for terrible things that we've done. Gil Arayish, V'chadam, and Avodah Zarah, Sin Eschinam, that we were hatred for each other, that we were serving Avodah Zarah, that we were... All the other reasons discussed in Chazal, whatever they might be. Golus Mitzrayim, we're talking about the Shiftei Ka. We're talking about Kadosh Degayid and Yaakov Avinu. Golus Mitzrayim, why did we have it? Why did we need it? We don't find any really good reason. There are different approaches. I want to share with you the Shla HaKadosh. Shla HaKadosh. The Shnei Luchas HaBris. He says as follows. You see, to be a Jew means I have to be an Ever Hashem. I have to be an Ever Hashem. An Ever Hashem, a slave of Hashem, a servant of Hashem. Slave sounds too degrading, but that's MS. Never does for his master no matter what. Whether he's excited to or he's not excited to. And Evid puts in effort. Evid puts in hard work. It's hard. But he does. And before we're going to make Kabbalah the Torah, Hashem says, you have to learn how to be an Evid. You have to learn how to work hard. You have to learn how to put in the effort day in and day out, no matter what. Because that's a deep relationship. Through thick and thin. You know, by the Goyim, by the Umos Ha'olam, under their canopy, I don't know what, at their ceremony of marriage, they exchange vows, and they say, we're going to be together through thick and thin. Whenever the Schus, to meet with the Chas and the Kala, should be with all of you, B'Shatayva, at the right time, with the right person, Bez Hashem. I always tell them, the MS is, you know, we don't do that under our chuppah, at least I've never seen it done from Chasana, but we're saying that as well, the Machshava, that a chassan and kala should understand there are going to be some difficult times. We're going to get through everything together, through thick and thin. But the same is with our relationship with the Eibishter. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted to say, my relationship with you is not just going to be when things are so clear and things are so megala. I want you to be an Eved. And an Eved means sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of hard work. Learn how to be an Eved. Learn how to be an Eved. So in Mitzrayim, we first just learned how to be an Eved. We learned how to be a servant, how to work hard. Then I'm ready to be Makabel Torah. Then I'm ready to accept the Torah. The other nations weren't able to accept Torah. Why? Where do we see it? We went around to all of the nations. You want to accept Torah? Take the Torah. Oh, this, we don't like that so much. What is that saying? I'm not going to be an Eved. That's hard for me. That I don't connect to. Leave it by the wayside. Yidden, we're learning what it means to be an Eved. Then they could be Makabel Torah. So first and foremost, we have to understand, yes, we're zoichet have sparks of clarity, but true avodas Hashem means at times it's going to be hard. No matter what, to be an Eved means I'm going to do it no matter what. An Eved means even on the days when I'm not excited to, and I'm tired, and I'm not into it, I'm going to daven anyways. And even when I have some level of taiva to dress a little that's sneeze, then I'm going to do it anyways. Because it's emes, because it's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants. And the way that I'm going to guide my life, the same way when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I'm so clear to guide my life, b'derech Torah mitzvos, if it's hard, I'm going to do it the same way. That's first and foremost. And that's what it is. That's what these parshas are. And that's why we need the parshas of Shmos Ve'erabo as well. Because those were the parshas that taught us how to be an Eved. How to work hard, no matter what. But I know that's not enough for you. I know some of you are thinking, okay, that's great. And no, it's good chizuk, it's nice, Rebbe, but like, I can use the clarity once in a while, too. You know, that only sometimes goes so far. I'd rather just, you know, have this relationship I feel now. And also, then I'll put in the hard work as well, of course. How could I pull this, a little bit of this time at least, with me? A little bit of this connection. So I'm going to tell you something now, and it might be a little bit different than what most people would be talking to women about, but I believe it and believe it very strongly. And I want you to listen to this and understand this. You know, obviously in general, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of learning Torah, is primarily a mitzvah for men more so than women. And the tafkid of a woman, the purpose of a woman in her life, in her global life, in a bigger picture life, is not necessarily to sit and be amal b'torah many, many hours a day. And there's definitely truth to that, and we all understand that in this room, I believe. If anyone wants to talk more privately about it, you could talk to me. I'm not going to go into that, but I think we're on the same page in understanding, and a man and a woman have to understand their tafkid. It's very, very important. You know, people wrongly look at Yiddishkeit and think that Yiddishkeit is chauvinistic and is anti-women or whatever. The Torah understands the kedusha of every woman and understands the godliness of every woman and understands more than anyone else in this world the difference between men and women. And there are differences. And when in the secular world and in American culture and the whole women's lib movement and whatever that might be, although a couple of the nuances were correct, yes, is it true a woman should vote? Okay, if you want, maybe different little things back in the day to have a little equality in the workplace. I understand certain areas, maybe that was right, but to the extent that it's pushed is despicable and is a complete lack of understanding the difference between men and women. The Torah, Pum Fakert, understands and appreciates men and women are different. And what do you see happens, by the way? Just open up your eyes and be clear. What happens the more that in the secular world that we live in, it's been pushing the equality and of men and women and that we're exactly the same? What do you see happens? What do we see happens to marriages? Out the window. We see that men marry men and women marry women, whatever that means, is completely acceptable because it's one and the same. There's no differences anymore. The sick world we live in, which obviously to each and every one of us in this room makes absolutely no sense, and not the way the Rabbon Hashem wants, and obviously, clearly, it's not the way the world is supposed to act. Have a raya, you can't have children, so there would be no children in the world. There would be no world. The world would cease to exist. Right? The world would cease to exist. So obviously, it's not the way that the world is supposed to be. Push it. It's that simple. You don't have to go into any deep tires. Forget about what the Torah tells about these things. Just think about it for a moment. If you think logically for one moment, there would be no world. There would be no next generation. It's that simple. It doesn't have to go. We don't have to go any deeper than that. If we keep on going, we definitely can't talk in Yom Torah on this, but okay. But I think you understand what I'm saying. But why am I saying this? Well, we won't go further into that. Maybe that privately for another time. But what I'm saying is, Lamaisa, the Torah appreciates in a beautiful way the difference between men and women. The kaychas that men have and the kaychas that women have. And it's not a degrading to a woman that she's the one that's a little bit more in the home and a little bit more taking care of the children, a little bit more because she has that empathy and sympathy in a caring way that's a little more emotional for a child than a man. And the man maybe is the one who a little bit more is supposed to be out earning the parnasa. And then of course having also a special relationship with his children. Shema b'ni musar v'ichla tizash tor simecha. It's different l'shoinus. Yes, Ramban, there you go, right? It's a pasuk mishle, you know, but okay. But it's the first. But it's first line of Igaris Ramban. But he's taking that from Mishle. So therefore, because of these differences, of course, so men have more of a place in Talmud Torah than women, in the way that men think compared to the way that when women think, and the way that they need for their avodah Hashem, their connection to God, which women have more naturally, perhaps, and don't need that building in that way. And that's where we get into mitzvahs on Gramanash and Peturos, not because, oh, they're not roy to keep these mitzvahs, they don't need them in the same way. And it's not better or worse, it's just different. So that all being said, that women don't have the same chiyuv in Talmud Torah. That being said, women definitely have a chiyuv in Talmud Torah. Women are definitely, lefi the Gra, many, mechuyuv to learn all of Tanakh. Whoever in this room has already gone through well all of Tanakh. You don't have to raise your hands. But have we all gone through it? And if we've actually gone through it, have we gone through it well? Has anyone gone through all of Tanakh well in this room? You have a chiyuv to learn all the mitzvos that apply to you. Have you gone through all of all of halachos svarim of every mitzvah that applies to you, all the mitzvahs of hanhagas adam beboker, all the mitzvahs when it comes to sneas, all of who's here holding hilchos Shabbos perfectly? Mamish holding kol hilchos Shabbos, hilchos kashrus. You're going to have a kitchen, you're going to be a wife, you're going to be a mother. You're holding hilchos kashrus perfectly, you're holding hilchos Shabbos perfectly. Again, I'm not asking for hands. Hopefully you do better than I. But there are plenty of... And when it comes to learning Musar, learning Machshava, learning Svarim to inspire us, women don't have that same chiyuv as men if we need it, whatever level that is, whatever it is. Now, obviously, you have other responsibilities and you're going to have very strong responsibilities when it comes to children and chinuch and a home, much more so than men. And therefore, you don't have the same chiyuv. And when it comes to Torah Shabbat Peh, you don't have the chiyuv. So what am I saying? But Lemaisa, we have to understand, Talmud Torah, the Heilige Tanya of Shner Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Perek Dalet of Tanya, says every time we learn Torah, we're mamish giving the Rabbona Shalom a hug. That's his Lashon. Again, I don't have Svarim here. Oh, we have, maybe it's on, I'm not going to take the time to find it now, for sake of time, probably on this Vlach Pachol Baderach, you can get anything, right? But I had one other Makar I want to read to you, so... We'll hold off on that for now. But he says, trust me, you can look it up there. And Tanya Perek Dalet says, you're literally giving Hashem a hug. What is it about Eretz Yisrael that's so clear and so much Kedusha and so much holiness and that we started out speaking about? It's that we feel deeply the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our life. We feel it. We really feel it. We feel that we're hugging the Ribbono Shel Olam when I'm by the Kaisel, so I can daven differently. I feel like I'm hugging the Ribbono Shel Olam when even I just walk the streets of Emek Rafaim. Keshkoyach is just to go to a nice restaurant or whatever it might be. It feels different. It feels that I'm going out to eat with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It really does. So then I'm going to go back to America, and when I walk Central Avenue, it ain't Emek Rafaim. It just ain't. It's just not. And it could even be the people are dressed the same way. But you feel different. You mamish feel different. And you have just as many kosher restaurants. And it feels different. What's pshat? So what do we want? What do we want? It's to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam always. When I learn Torah, I'm giving the Ribbono Shel Olam a hug. I'm going to start feeling the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life. The Nefesh HaChaim says a little, the language of the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Lajiner, is that every time I learn Torah, I'm learning, he has, Raya's, I don't have time now, but learning, I'm literally learning with God. God's reading the words with me. I mean, you say you're sitting in your room and you take out a Chavis and Shechavas Olavavos and you want to learn a little bit. Even Hebrew English is all good. That's also learning, right? And you think I'm learning by myself? You're not learning by yourself. You know who you learn with? With the Eibish there, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're having a Chavrusa with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're literally learning with Hashem. So I'm giving as I hug him. I'm having a Chavrusa with Hashem. So you want to take this feeling home. First and foremost, understand we don't need the feeling all the time. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. But if I need it once in a while, I need it sometimes. We need, through Talmud Torah, through learning of Torah, I could feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in my life always. MS. And it doesn't have to be 2-3 hours a day. It shouldn't be for you, probably. You have, as I said before, we have a different tafkid. That's not your tafkid. For your husband b'shat tov in the right time, your husband should be learning b'yamel b'torah. Whatever, that's subjective, how much of time that is. Should be kovei to matorah, should be a guy that wakes up early to learn, late at night learns, whatever it might be. For you, your avodah is not to learn hours a day. Your avodah is not to learn hours a day. But your avodah is to learn something every day, maybe. If we decided tonight, I want to take Eretz Yisrael back with me. I want to take this feeling. What is the feeling? The feeling is not Eretz Yisrael. It's Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to take Ribbono Shel Olam with me. I sit and I learn Torah. I could be one with the Ribbono Shel Olam wherever I am. So I'm going to decide tonight, whatever it is, maybe even set up with someone, another girl in this room, that I'm going to start learning 15 minutes every day. Every day. Not just... twice a week, and not just Baruch Hashem, we have our shiurim, which are awesome, and we'll continue, maybe we should make those more often, I don't know, whatever it is, but Lemaisa, I don't mean, and going to shiurim is great, there's a difference when you open up a sefer and you learn it, it's a different type of limud, and again, shiurim, how many shiurim could you go to? You go once a week, twice a week, I'm not talking, it has to be an hour a day, 2 hours a day, it shouldn't be even, I think that's not your tafkid. That's not what your purpose is. You're not a man, you're a woman. Baruch Hashem. We're not mixing that up in Yiddishkeit. But to learn 15 minutes a day? To learn 15 minutes a day? Maybe 20 minutes a day? Maybe some of you a half hour? I don't know, different times in your life, whatever it might be. But at least say 15 minutes a day and decide. You could be, I gave you a lot of nice choices. You could learn, some of you, and mashalib chavit, which is something you really enjoy. So some of you learn Tanakh. You want to learn the Parsha every week? Learn the, every day 15 minutes the Parsha? Learn the Parsha. You want to learn halacha? So again, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kashrus, Hilchas Anonim, whatever the halacha might be. You want to learn Musar Machshava? Learn Musar Machshava. You want to learn 20 minutes a day, 10 minutes one thing, 10 minutes another day? I don't know. Don't take upon too much also. First of all, like I said, it's not your tafkid to learn a tremendous amount. But Lamaisa, you take on too much, it's not going to happen either. But decide tonight, or as you're here, decide what and set it up, when in your day, that you're going to start learning Torah every day. You can start learning Torah every day. Something is safer. You know, we all look up to, if there was one woman of this generation that we looked up to more than any other woman. If there was one woman we looked up, and there were a lot, I know some of you are thinking different people, but if there was one of our generation we looked up to, and I hope some of you met her, it was probably Rebbetzin Kanievsky. That's who I would say. Of all the women that people would want to come to meet with, of women, Tzadik, a lot of Nashim Tzikonios. Listen, Rebbetzin Machlis just passed away. She was Nashim Tzikonios. She was Mamish. And big, they're big women. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to degrade Chas V'Shalom anyone else. But if there was one of this generation that was well known and that was there for others in a way that like nobody else, and the full package of Ben Olam Makom, Ben Olam Chaveira, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, ain't no doima. I don't know how many. Some of you had the chus to meet Rebbetzin Kanievsky. Anyone? None. You did? You had the chus. Mamish just. I spoke to her a few times. What?
That's right.
You're in Eretz-Yisrael. Sukkos. I know Sukkos. So. I had this chus to talk to her many times. I have to find, I have a video talking to her somewhere. She was unbelievable. But I'm sure all of you, or some of you, I hope all of you have read her book, the biography about Rebbetzin. If you haven't, right away you should get it and read it and have a goal and aspiration of who to be like. But if you read in that sefer, besides for all the achmas zorachim and all the chesed and all the tefillos and all the tehillim and all the support of her husband, the gadol hador, she had her own limudim that she was learning every day, that she called her chiyuvim, that she had to get through every day, that she was learning. That she was sitting and learning. That we have to decide, you want to take it home with you? Decide you're going to learn every day a few minutes. Decide you're going to learn a few minutes of Torah every day. That's how you have an or no matter where you are. I want to tell you a story. It's a story I've been telling, so maybe some of you heard it if you listened to the shiurim. A few weeks ago, I said it on a Thursday night, not at Daniela's house. There was, in 1948, there was a, the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a lot of poverty. A lot of poverty in Eretz Yisrael. And one day, in one of the shtiblach, one of the shuls, a sign went up that tomorrow there's going to be a big siyum with like the most incredible food. Basar, vidagim, mead, and fish, and mamish, incredible food. No one could understand, no one could afford these things. Like they had maybe on Shabbos a little bit of fish, a little bit of chicken. And they didn't know who's making the siyum, what it's all about. And they show up the next day, and kachav, the tables are set, and who's like unbelievably, some meat, some fish. Who's making siyum? One of the regular gvir, one of the regular guys. One of the regular guys who was poor as everybody else. They didn't understand. How's he? They thought maybe someone's coming in, someone special, someone wealthy from America. Okay, it must be the siyum now. He must have been saving up for a very long time. Must be, what's he making a siyum on? Sivad, it must be he's making siyum ashas, right? Something like incredible. So he gets up and he says, I want to tell everybody, I'm making a siyum a Mesechus Moed Katan. Now I'm sure you shouldn't know, but I'll let you know. Moed Katan's a very small Mesechta. My cousin's very small. You know, like, I'm sure you've been by siyums during the 9 days. People like to make siyums during the 9 days so that you can have a little bit of meat, because we can't go as Jews. I would say 9 days. You're not even going 9 days. You can't go, because you have Shabbos, right? So you can't go 5 days without having meat, because we're Jews, Baruch Hashem. In Simcha, Labas Re'ayin, the Gemara says in Pesachim. So, when you want to make a siyum during the 9 days, so you'll take a small masechta, finish quickly. One of those is like Moed Katan. It's a very small masechta. This is what he's making this massive siyum on, and he couldn't believe it. So they show up, and he says, I know you're going to think it's strange, I'm making such a big siyum, I want to explain to you why I make such a special siyum. I was in Auschwitz. When I was in Auschwitz, there was a yid that people thought was crazy, off his rocker, and he'd go around mumbling all day. Like, always talking to himself. And people thought he was Meshuggah. People went crazy in the Holocaust, right? Your whole family was destroyed. You had nothing. You can't blame anyone. People were mentally ill. People thought this guy was mentally ill. Fun. One night, I'm lying in my bed. I'm sleeping in my bed. In my barrack. My wooden barrack with six other Jews and space for three. And the only pleasure Tanug you had ever the whole day was when you finally went to sleep. At least then, you're sleeping and you're out. And you didn't have to go through the pain and the suffering and the memories and everything. And I'm sleeping, and this yid, this mumbler, he slept on top of me, he comes down and starts shaking me, waking me up. No, he didn't do that to someone when they're sleeping during the Holocaust, because again, like I said, that was the only pleasure he had. He says, I'm so sorry for waking you. I'm so, so sorry for waking you. But I want you to know, I want to tell you why I'm always mumbling. You see, a few years before the Holocaust, I saw already the writing on the wall. I saw what it was going to be. I understood. And I knew maybe I'm not going to make it. Maybe what's going to be with the Nazis. So I decided if I'm going to be taken from this world, I'm going to die a Kaddish Dikiyid, a very holy Jew. And I started learning nonstop. And I memorized all of Shas. So that if I was taken away, and in the state that we're in, I could be learning all the time. And whenever you see me mumbling, you know what I'm doing? I'm living as a Kaddish Tikiyid. I'm learning. I'm chazering Shas nonstop. And he says to this Jew, he says, but I feel that I'm almost going to leave this world. I don't have much kochos left to my life. And I don't think I have much more time in this world. I'm just too weak. And I'm in the middle of Meseches Moed Katan. I'm on Daf Tes. How could I go up to the Olam Emes? How could I go up to the next world in the middle of a Masechta? They're going to tell me, how do you not finish the Masechta? Could you please promise me you're going to finish the Masechta for me? And I'll give you a brach if you promise me you'll live and you'll be able to finish the Masechta. And the guy said, sure, if you pass away, I promise I'll finish my Katan for you. And that Yid, the Yid passed away, it was the next day. And this Yid eventually made it to Eretz Yisrael. And he finished Moed Katan on behalf of that other Yid. And this was the siyum he was making. He said, this is not my siyum. This is a siyum for all the Kaddoshim, and specifically that Kaddosh. It's his siyum up in Shemayim. You see, that Yid understood that even in the Gehenim al-Aretz of Nazi Germany and in Chesed, or in Auschwitz in Poland, in Auschwitz, that he's alive with the Rabbonu Shalom if he's learning Torah. And he was one with the Rabbonu Shalom mamish in Auschwitz. And this is what we have to understand. And it's for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us could attain it. Nobody here could say they can't do this. Learn a little bit every day. You know, there's a Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. And listen to this Rambam. This just came to me in the schus of this shir. Because I learned this on the plane. And even when I was on the plane, I didn't know if I was giving this shir. Because right before I took off, I sent Daniela a message, right? I think, and then, yeah, right before I took off, but you were sleeping. Stomach, right, but I just did it so you could plan while I was on the plane. So I sent you a message because I didn't know if I could commit till then. And then, so I didn't even know, on the plane, I was just learning. I happened to see this Rambam. It wasn't until after I got off that I saw that we're going to have the shir. And I had literally 10 minutes at one point to, whatever. It was a long day, Baruch Hashem. It's far from over. We've got a long, long night still ahead of us. Listen to this Rambam. This Torah just came to me today. One part of the Torah you'll hear. Tremendous. The Rambam itself is tremendous chizik, but one part of the Rambam is just for us. The Rambam is in Talmud Torah, Paragimel, Halacha Aleph. B'shlosha ksarim nichteru Yisrael. With three crowns, every Jew, or not every Jew, the Jews, the Jewish nation is crowned. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, the Keser Kuhuna, the crown of priesthood of kahuna, the keser malchus, and the crown of kingship. And he goes on, keser kahuna zocha bo Aaron. The crown of kahuna is only Aaron and his descendants. Only they are kohanim. I happen to have this chus to be a kohen. But if your father's not a kohen, you're not a kohen. I don't know how many of you are anywhere a bas kohen in this room. Can we have, okay, so you have a bas kohen. Gabby, are you a bas kohen?
Yeah.
Gabby's bas kohen. So, I understand. I understood, but I didn't see your hand. But I understand. I know that. So you're calling it. So you know you have. Actually, I'll tell you later. But Gemara says that you'll be zoicha either marry a kohen or a talmud chacham. So both of you should be zoicha. But anyways, okay. Bekarov. The right person, the right time. But that should be Bekarov. So you have Keser Kuna, Zochabar. Only if you are. You can't have Keser Kuna. If not, actually, truth is, many of you could get Keser Kuna if you marry a Kohen also. You have this chus of Matnas Kuna. If you marry a Kohen, maybe you have a little. But your children will be Kohanim. Lemay is a Keser Kuna or something. It's not. It's if you have it, you have it. If not, not. Keser Malchus, same. Keser Malchus, Zochabar David. Only descendants of David Amelech. David Amelech Mashiach. Malchios. So we're not going to concern ourselves with the kuna and the malchios. However, keser Torah, the crown of Torah. What does a crown mean? Does it mean a physical crown? That crown is a connection to Hashem. When by Nasav and Ishma, by Arsina, when we were close to Hashem, what happened? We were given two crowns. The crown represents a connection to the kingship, the ultimate kingship, the Rabbon Shem. That's what it represents. And the Rambam says, keser Torah harimunach v'omad umucham l'chol Yisrael. The crown of Torah is ready, standing, and prepared for every member of Israel. Kol mi sheyirtza yavo v'yitol. Anyone who wants could come and take it. Kol mi sheyirtza yavo v'yitol. Anyone who wants can come and take it. It's for all of us. It doesn't say only for a man. All of us. First of all, the Rambam itself is tremendous chizik. Each and every one of us could grab onto Keser Shel Torah, could learn a little bit of Torah, and hug the Rabbanu Shel, be one with the Rabbanu Shel. But something came to me today, in your chizik, I think. If you think about the Kuna and the Malchios, both of those are also so much so mishubud, are connected to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, I'm a Kohen. But Lamaisa, what does it mean to be a Kohen outside Eretz Yisrael? Really not much. Okay, Shkoyach, a couple times a year, I have to chus to Dochen, and you get a particular Aliyah, but Yisraelim also get Aliyahs, and Levim also get Aliyahs. Okay, you get the first one, Shkoyach. Meaning, but ultimately, once in a while, the chus to do a Pidyon HaBen. Truth is, a few weeks ago, I had the chus, I did two Pidyon HaBens the last month, but one of them I did on Chanukah. So in Chanukah, you light the menorah, which is a void of Beis HaMikdash, and Pidyon HaBen, and I gave the bracha a bracha, so I was zoicha to be involved in Avodah Shebakuna. But generally, Kohanim is really meant for Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, even now, we duchen every single day. And Halavai, it should be with Beis HaMikdash, B'mehar Ve'en, who is the Iker of the Kohuna, is in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Keser of Kohuna is so connected to Eretz Yisrael. Keser Malchios also, what does it mean, Malchios? It's Eretz Yisrael. No Malchios outside Eretz Yisrael. David's Melch Eretz Yisrael. It's not the Melch of America. So Malchios also is connected, Mekusher, completely to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we're feeling. We're here, we feel those ksarim, we feel, they're so clear. Keser Torah is anywhere. Keser Torah imunach v'me mechum l'chol Yisrael. Kol mi shirir to yavo v'yitol. Each and every one of us can come and take it. It's not connected to here. It's not connected, oh, so you went to Mechala, you went to Chvesnish, to Midrashat, you went to Darchibina, you went, so it was for that time and that place. Guess what? Whatever books you learned there are the same ones we got in America. Same exact ones. I promise you. Same ones. It's not connected to here. Torah's for anybody, and not just anybody, for any place. Unlike Kuna Malchus. And that's how we could be connected to Hashem always. Where was the Torah even given? Amazing. Where was the Torah given? In the Midbar. You'd think, where should the Torah be given? Mamish Torah! Where should it be given? You think it would be given on Har Abayis? We given by the coldest place in the world, Yerushalayim HaKodesh. It's given in the Midbar, in the middle of the desert, in Chutz La'aretz. To tell us that it's anywhere. And that's how you can connect Hashem anywhere. And Vadit's keeping Torah, which we all do. And that's davening, and that's Snias, and that's Shabbos, and that's Midos, and that's everything that we do. But I think, and hopefully the chizik tonight should be that if we want to keep this clarity, Vada, sometimes we have to understand we're not going to have it and we have to be an Eved, and that's what we discussed of these parashios. But that we should take upon the Kabbalah and we take away that I'm going to learn every day. And you have to decide it now while you're here, while you have the clarity. Set it up. Set it up with Chavrusa, with what, another girl. From here. Or from someone else, whatever it is. So it gets done. And Vada, and continue to go Shiurim as well. And more, but something I'm going to learn every single day. And you'll see, you'll feel more Mekushar to Hashem. You'll feel it. You'll feel that you feel here in a different way. A little bit of something. I was reading a story also on the way here. I meant to bring it up and to read it to you. I forgot it's in the car, but the Yid from Siberia, and he was interviewed. And a Russian, and he survived Siberia. And someone, they asked him, how was Siberia? Siberia was all light. It's all light. What do you mean? Wasn't it hard labor? Wasn't it bad? It was terrible labor, back-breaking labor. Worked from 4 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. He had to do something like with the pigs or something. I don't know, whatever. He was terrible, terrible. He says, how was it all light? 6 o'clock, I come back, and I'd sit and learn mamish. And it was unbelievable. Sit and learn. You had svarim in Siberia? No, I had no svarim. They took away all the svarim. Of course I didn't have svarim. So how'd you learn? I would close my eyes, and I'd picture myself back in cheder, and I'd picture myself sitting in the room, and my friend Yisrael on my right, and my friend David on my left, and I picture the Rebbe, and I picture and then picture Rebbe reading the words of the Gemara, word by word, and I follow with my eyes closed, and when he finished that daf, I'd open my eyes, and then I'd be able to chazer it myself, and I'd learn through it, and then I'd close my eyes, and again the next daf, picture the Rebbe, and remember that whole daf. And Mamish Siberia was the biggest light. When you have Torah, you have light wherever you are. And each and every one of us have to understand that. Each and every one of us has to know that. Of course, it's a schus to be here. And halavai, by the way, every one of you should think about and want to live here and hopefully should live here. We'll all be here. But for the time we have to be in Chutzlar, and the clarity, the strong clarity of Keser Malchus and Keser Huna is not there. Don't forget, you have Keser Torah. You have Keser Torah and take upon yourself to bring it home. Avad, the times have to be an Eved, but you want to feel it, which will be Zoyche, to bring all the Chizik home with us. And feel close to Hashem always, until we're Zoyche to all be back here, with Biach Mashiach, Bimher Rimeinu, Bakar of Mamash.